BFG by Roald Dahl. Sophie couldn't sleep. A brilliant moonbeam was slanting through a gap in the curtains. It was shining right onto her pillow. The other children in the dormitory had been asleep for hours. The house was absolutely silent. No voices from downstairs, no footsteps on the floor above either. The window behind the curtain was wide open, but nobody was walking on the pavement outside. Not the tiniest sound could be heard anywhere. Sophie had never known such a silence. Perhaps, she told herself, this was what they called the witching hour, when every child and every grown-up was in a deep, deep sleep, and all the dark things came out from hiding and had the world to themselves. The moonbeam was brighter than ever on Sophie's pillow. She decided to get out of bed and close the gap in the curtains. She reached out for her glasses that lay on the chair beside her bed. They had steel rims with very thick lenses, and she could hardly see a thing without them. She put them on. Then she slipped out of bed and tiptoed over to the window. When she reached the curtains, Sophie hesitated. She longed to see what the world looked like now that the witching hour was at hand. She listened again. Everywhere was deathly still. Quickly, she ducked under the curtains and leaned out of the window. In the silvery moonlight, the village street she knew so well seemed completely different. The houses looked bent and crooked. Everything was pale and ghostly and milky white. Across the road, she could see Mrs. Rance's shop, where you bought buttons and wools and bits of elastic. There was something dim and misty about that, too. Sophie allowed her eye to travel further and further down the street. Suddenly she froze. There was something coming up the street on the opposite side. It was something black. Something tall and black. Something very tall and very black and very thin. It wasn't a human. It couldn't be. It was four times as tall as the tallest human. It was so tall its head was higher than the upstairs windows of the houses. Sophie opened her mouth to scream, but no sound came out. This was the witching hour, all right. The tall black figure was coming her way. On and on it came, nearer and nearer, but it was moving in spurts. It would stop, then it would move on, then it would stop again. But what on earth was it doing? Aha! Sophie could see now what it was up to. It would stop and peer into the upstairs window of each house in the street. It actually had to bend down to peer into the upstairs windows. That's how tall it was. It was much closer now, and Sophie could see it more clearly. Looking at it carefully, she decided it had to be some kind of person. Obviously, it was not a human, but it was definitely a person. A giant person, perhaps. Sophie stared hard across the misty, moonlit street. The giant, if that was what he was wearing a long, black cloak. In one hand, he was holding what looked like a very long, thin trumpet. In the other hand, he held a large suitcase. The giant had stopped now right in front of Mr. and Mrs. Gucci's house. The Gucci's had a greengrocer's shop in the middle of the high street, and the family lived above the shop. The giant was peering through the window into the room where Michael and Jane Gucci were sleeping. From across the street, Sophie watched and held her breath. She saw the giant step back a pace and put the suitcase down on the pavement. He took something out of it. It looked like a glass jar, one of those square ones with a screw top. He unscrewed the top of the jar and poured what was in it into the end of the long trumpet thing. Sophie watched, trembling. She saw the giant straighten up again, and she saw him poke the trumpet in through the open upstairs window of the room where the Gucci children were sleeping. She saw the giant take a deep breath, and woof! He blew through the trumpet. Whatever had been in the jar had now been blown through the trumpet into the Gucci children's bedroom. What could it be? As the giant withdrew the trumpet from the window, he happened to turn his head and glance across the street. In the moonlight, Sophie caught a glimpse of an enormous, long, pale, wrinkly face with the most enormous ears. The nose was as sharp as a knife, and above the nose there were two bright, flashing eyes, and the eyes were staring straight at Sophie. Sophie gave a yelp and pulled back from the window. She flew across the dormitory and jumped into her bed and hid under the blanket. After a minute or so, she lifted a corner and peeped out. There at the window, with the curtains pushed aside, was the enormous, long, pale, wrinkly face of the giant person staring in. The flashing black eyes were fixed on Sophie's bed. The next moment, a huge hand with pale fingers came snaking in through the window. This was followed by an arm as thick as a tree trunk. This time, Sophie really did scream, but only for a second, because very quickly the huge hand clamped down over her blanket and the scream was smothered by the bedclothes. Sophie, crouching underneath the blanket, felt strong fingers grasping hold of her, and then she was lifted up from her bed, blanket and all, and whisked out of the window. When the giant had got Sophie outside, he arranged the blanket so that he could grasp all the four corners of it at once in one of his huge hands, with Sophie imprisoned inside. In the other hand, he seized the suitcase and the long trumpet thing, and off he ran. Sophie, by squirming around inside the blanket, managed to push the top of her head out through a little gap just below the giant's hand. She stared around her. She saw the village houses rushing by on both sides. The giant was sprinting down the high street. Each stride he took was as long as a tennis court. Out of the village he ran, and soon they were racing across the moonlit fields. The hedges dividing the fields were no problem to the giant. He simply strode over them. A wide river appeared in his path. He crossed it in one flying stride. The giant ran on and on. But now a curious change took place in his way of running. Faster and faster he went, and soon he was travelling at such a speed that the landscape became blurred. The wind stung Sophie's cheek. It made her eyes water. It whistled in her ears. She could no longer feel the giant's feet touching the ground. She had a weird sensation they were flying. This giant had some sort of magic in his legs. The wind rushing against Sophie's face became so strong that she had to duck down again into the blanket to prevent her head from being blown away. Was it really possible that they were crossing oceans? It certainly felt that way to Sophie. She crouched in the blanket. The howling of the wind went on for what seemed like hours. Then, all at once, the wind stopped its howling. The pace began to slow down. Sophie could feel the giant's feet pounding once again over the earth. She poked her head out to have a look. They were in a country of thick forests and rushing rivers. The giant had definitely slowed down and was now running more normally, although normal was a silly word to use to describe a galloping giant. He went rattling down into a valley and up over a range of hills, and soon he was galloping over a desolate wasteland that was not quite of this earth. The ground was flat and pale yellow. Great lumps of blue rock were scattered around, and dead trees stood everywhere like skeletons. Sophie, still peering out from the blanket, saw suddenly ahead of her a great craggy mountain. The mountain was dark blue, and all around it the sky was gushing and glistening with light. Bits of pale gold were flying among delicate frosty white flakes of cloud, and over to one side the rim of the morning sun was coming up, red as blood. Right beneath the mountain, the giant stopped. He was puffing mightily. Directly in front of them, lying against the side of the mountain, Sophie could see a massive round stone, as big as a house. The giant reached out and rolled the stone to one side, as easily as if it had been a football. Where the stone had been, there appeared a vast black hole. The hole was so large the giant didn't even have to duck his head as he went in. As soon as he was inside, he stopped and turned and rolled the great stone back into place. Sophie felt herself being lowered to the ground. Then the giant let go of the blanket completely. His footsteps moved away. Sophie sat there in the dark, shivering with fear. "He is getting ready to eat me," she told herself. "He will probably eat me raw."
just as I am. A blaze of light suddenly lit up the whole place. Sophie blinked and stared. She saw an enormous cavern with a high rocky pool. The walls on either side were lined with shelves, and on the shelves there stood row upon row of glass jars. There were jars everywhere. They were piled up in the corners. They filled every nook and cranny. In the middle of the floor there was a table 12 feet high and a chair to match. The giant took off his black cloak and hung it against the wall. Sophie saw that under the cloak he was wearing a sort of collarless shirt with a dirty old leather waistcoat that didn't seem to have any buttons. His trousers were faded green and were far too short in the legs. On his bare feet, he was wearing a pair of ridiculous sandals that for some reason had holes cut along each side, with a large hole at the end where his toes stuck out. Sophie gazed at him through thick, steel-rimmed glasses. She was trembling like a leaf in the wind, and a finger of ice was running up and down the length of her spine.
"Oh!"
shouted the giant, walking forward and rubbing his hands together.
"What has this got here?"
His booming voice rolled around the walls of the cave like a burst of thunder. The giant picked up the trembling Sophie with one hand and carried her across the cave and put her on the table. "Now he really is going to eat me," Sophie thought. The giant had truly enormous ears. Each one was as big as the wheel of a truck, and he seemed to be able to move them inwards and outwards from his head as he wished.
"I is hungry,"
the giant boomed. He grinned, showing massive square teeth. The teeth were very white. They sat in his mouth like huge slices of white bread.
"Please don't eat me," Sophie stammered.
The giant let out a bellow of laugh.
"Just because I is a giant, you think I is a man-gobbling cannibal. You is about right. Giants is all cannibal is murderful, and they just gobble up human beings. We is in giant country now. Giants is everywhere around. Out there, us has the famous bone-crunching giant. Bone-crunching giant crunches up 2 wopsy-whiffling human beings for supper every night. Noise is ear-bursting. Noise of crunching bones goes crackety-crack for miles around.
Ouch!
Bone-crunching giant only gobbles human beings from Turkey.
Why Turks?
Bone Cruncher says Turkish human beings has a glamourly flavour. He says Turks from Turkey is tasting of turkey.
I suppose they would.
Of course they would. Every human being is diddly and different. Some is scrumdiddlyumptious and some is ucky slush. Greeks is all full of ucky slush. No giant is eating Greeks ever.
Why not?
Greeks is all tasting greasy.
I imagine that's possible too,
Sophie said. She was wondering with a bit of a tremble what all this talking about eating people was leading up to.
As I am saying,
the giant went on,
all human beings is having different flavours. Human beings from Panama is tasting very strong of hats.
Why hats?
You is not very clever,
the giant said, moving his great ears in and out.
I thought all human beings is full of brains, but your head is emptier than a bundongle.
Do you like vegetables?
Sophie asked, hoping to steer the conversation towards a slightly less dangerous kind of food.
You is trying to change the subject,
the giant said sternly.
We is having an interesting babblement about the taste of the human being. The human being is not a vegetable.
Oh, but the bean is a vegetable.
Not the human bean. The human bean has 2 legs and a vegetable has no legs at all.
Sophie didn't argue any more.
The human bean,
the giant went on,
is coming in dillions of different flavours. For instance, human beans from Wales is tasting very whooshy of fish. There is something very fishy about Wales.
You mean whales,
Sophie said.
Wales is something quite different.
Wales is Wales. Don't gobble-funk around with words. I will now give you another example. Danes from Denmark is tasting ever so much of dogs.
Of course! Great Danes!
Wrong!
Cried the giant, slapping his thigh.
Danes from Denmark is tasting of Labradors.
Then what do the people of Labrador taste of?
Danes!
The giant cried triumphantly.
Aren't you getting a bit mixed up? Sophie asked.
I is a very mixed up giant, but I does do my best. And I is not nearly as mixed up as the other giants. I know one who gallops all the way to Wellington for his supper.
What do the people of Wellington taste of? Sophie asked.
Boots.
Of course, Sophie said. I should have known.
Sophie decided that this conversation had now gone on long enough. If she was going to be eaten, she'd rather get it over and done with right away than be kept hanging around any more.
What sort of human beings do you eat? She asked, trembling.
Me?
Shouted the giant, his mighty voice making the glass jars rattle on their shelves.
Me gobbling up human beings? This I never. I is a freaky giant. I is a nice and jumbly giant. I is the only nice and jumbly giant in giant country. I is the big friendly giant. I is the BFG. What is your name?
My name is Sophie. And if you are so nice and friendly, then why did you snatch me from my bed?
Because you saw me.
The big friendly giant answered.
If anyone is ever seeing a giant, he or she must be taken away hip-switch.
Why? Asked Sophie.
Well, first of all, human beings is not really believing in giants, is they? Human beings is not thinking we exist.
I do.
Ah, but that is only because you have seen me,
cried the BFG.
I cannot possibly allow anyone, even little girls, to be seeing me and staying at home. The first thing you would be doing, you would be scuttling around yodeling the news that you were actually seeing a giant. And then a great giant hunt, a mighty giant look-see, will be starting up all over the world. People would be rushing and bushing after me with goodness knows what, and they would be catching me and putting me into the zoo or the bunkum house with all those squiggling hippodumplings and crocodile dillies.
Sophie knew that what the giant said was true.
I will bet you,
the BFG went on,
that you would have been splashing the news all over the wonky world, wouldn't you, if I hadn't wiggled you away?
I suppose I would.
And that would never do.
So what will happen to me now? Sophie asked.
If you do go back, you will be telling the world. Most likely on the telly-telly bunkum box and the radio squeaker. So you will just have to be staying here with me for the rest of your life.
Oh, no! Cried Sophie.
Oh, yes. But I am warning you not ever to go whiffling about out of this cave without I is with you, or you will be coming to an ucky-mucky end.
The big friendly giant picked Sophie off the table and carried her to the cave entrance. He rolled the huge stone to one side and said,
"Peep out over there, little girl, and tell me what you is seeing."
The sun was up now and shining fiery hot over the great yellow wasteland with its blue rocks and dead trees. Sophie saw several tremendous tall figures moving among the rocks about 500 yards away. Three or four others were sitting quite motionless on the rocks themselves. It was a brain-boggling sight. The giants were all naked, except for a sort of short skirt around their waists, and their skins were burnt brown by the sun. But it was the sheer size of each one of them that boggled Sophie's brain most of all. They were simply colossal, far taller and wider than the big friendly giant upon whose hand she was now sitting. And oh, how ugly they were!
What on earth are they doing? Sophie asked.
Nothing. They is just moocheling and footling around and waiting for the night to come. Then they will all be galloping off to places where people is living to find their suppers.
Do they ever go to England? Sophie asked.
Often. They say the English is tasting ever so wonderfully of crod scallop.
Well, I'm not sure I quite know what that means.
Meanings is not important. I cannot be right all the time. Quite often I is left instead of right.
And are all those beastly giants over there really going off again tonight to eat people? Sophie asked.
All of them, every night,
the BFG answered.
All of them, excepting me. That is why you will be coming to an ucky-mucky end if any of them should ever be getting his gogglers upon you.
But eating people is horrible, Sophie cried. Why doesn't somebody stop them?
And who, please, is going to be stopping them?
Asked the BFG.
Couldn't you?
Never in a pig's whistle. All of those man-eating giants is enormous and very fierce. They is all at least 2 times my wideness and 2x my royal highness.
Twice as high as you.
Easily that. You is seeing them in the distance, but just wait till you get them close up. Those giants is all at least 50 feet tall, with huge muscles and cockles alive, alive-o. I is the titchy one. I is the runt.
Back in the cave, the big friendly giant sat Sophie down once again on the enormous table.
I cannot help thinking about your poor mother and father. By now they must be jipping and scumping all over the house, shouting, "Hello, hello, where is Sophie gone?"
I don't have a mother and father. They both died when I was a baby.
Oh, you poor little scrumplet. Is you not missing them very badly?
Not really, because I never knew them. That place you took me from was the village orphanage. We are all orphans in there.
You is an orphan?
Yes.
How many is there in there?
10 of us. All little girls.
Was you happy there?
The BFG asked. I hated it. The woman who ran it was called Mrs. Cronkers, and if she caught you breaking any of the rules, you got punished.
How is you getting punished?
She locked us in the dark cellar for a day and a night without anything to eat or drink.
The rotten old rock rasper.
It was horrid.
The filthy old fierce wiggler. That is the horridest thing I has... hearing for years.
All at once, a huge tear that would have filled a bucket rolled down one of the BFG's cheeks and fell with a splash on the floor. It made quite a puddle. Sophie watched with astonishment. What a strange creature this is, she thought.
The thing that worries me is having to stay in this dreadful place for the rest of my life. The orphanage was pretty awful, but I wouldn't have been there forever, would I?
All is my fault. I is the one who kid-snatched you.
Yet another enormous tear welled from his eye and splashed onto the floor. For a few moments the cave was silent. Then Sophie said,
May I ask you a question?
The BFG wiped the tears from his eyes with the back of his hand.
Shoot away.
Would you please tell me what you were doing in our village last night? Why were you poking that long trumpet thing into the Gucci children's bedroom?
Ah! Now we're getting nosier than a Parker.
And the suitcase you were carrying. What on earth was that all about?
You is asking me to tell you whoopsy big secrets.
I won't tell a soul. I swear it. How could I anyway? I'm stuck here for the rest of my life.
You could be telling the other giants.
No, I couldn't. You told me they would eat me up the moment they saw me.
And so they would.
Please tell me what you were doing in our village. I promise you can trust me.
If you is really wanting to know what I am doing in your village, I is blowing a dream into the bedroom of those children.
Blowing a dream? What do you mean?
I is a dream-blowing giant. When all the other giants is galloping off every what way and which to swallop human beings, I is scuttling away to other places to blow dreams into the bedrooms of sleeping children. Nice dreams. Lovely golden dreams. Dreams that is giving the dreamers a happy time.
Now hang on a minute. Where do you get these dreams?
I collect them.
The BFG said, waving an arm towards all the rows and rows of bottles on the shelves.
You can't collect a dream. A dream isn't something you can catch hold of.
The BFG settled himself comfortably in his chair and crossed his legs.
Dreams is very mysterious things. They is floating around in the air like little whipsy misty bubbles.
Can you see them?
Never at first.
Then how do you catch them if you can't see them?
Aha, now we is getting onto the dark and dusky secrets.
He closed his eyes and sat quite still for a moment while Sophie waited.
A dream, as it goes whiffling through the night air, is making a tiny little buzzing humming noise. But this little buzzy hum is so silvery soft, it is impossible for a human being to be hearing it.
Can you hear it?
The BFG pointed up at his enormous truck wheel ears, which he now began to move in and out. He performed this exercise with a little proud smile on his face.
Is you seeing these?
How could I miss them?
They is allowing me to hear absolutely every single twiddly little thing.
You mean you can hear things I can't hear?
You is deaf as a dumpling compared with me. You is hearing only thumping loud noises with those little earwigs of yours. But I am hearing all the secret whisperings of the world.
Such as what?
In your country, I is hearing the footsteps of a ladybird as she goes walking across a leaf.
Good gracious me! What else can you hear?
Sometimes, on a very clear night, and if I is swiggling my ears in the right direction...
And here he swiveled his great ears upwards so they were facing the ceiling.
If I is swiggling them like this, and the night is very clear, I is sometimes hearing faraway music coming from the stars in the sky.
A queer little shiver passed through Sophie's body. She sat very quiet, waiting for more.
My ears is what told me you was watching me out of your window last night.
But I didn't make a sound.
I was hearing your heart beating across the road, loud as a drum.
Go on, please.
I can hear plants and trees.
Do they talk?
They is not exactly talking, but they is making noises. For instance, if I come along and I is picking a lovely flower, if I is twisting the stem of the flower till it breaks... Then the plant is screaming. I can hear it screaming and screaming very clear.
Is that really true?
You think I is swizz-figgling you?
Well, it's rather hard to believe.
Then I is stopping right here.
Said the BFG sharply.
I is not wishing to be called a fibster.
Oh, no, I'm not calling you anything. I believe you, I do really. Please go on.
The BFG gave her a long, hard stare. Sophie looked right back at him, her face open to his.
I believe you, she said softly.
I wouldn't ever be fibbling to you.
I know you wouldn't. But it isn't easy to believe such amazing things straight away.
I understand that.
He waited a while longer, and then he said...
It is the same with trees as it is with flowers. If I is chopping an axe into the trunk of a big tree, I is hearing a terrible sound coming from inside the heart of the tree.
What sort of sound?
A soft moaning sound. It is like the sound an old man is making when he is dying slowly.
He paused. The cave was very silent.
Such wonderful and terrible sounds I is hearing. Some of them you would never wish to be hearing yourself. But some is like glorious music.
He seemed almost to be transfigured by the excitement of his thoughts.
Tell me more about them, Sophie said quietly.
You just ought to be hearing the little mices talking. I is hearing them as loud as my own voice.
What do they say?
Only the mices know that. Spiders is also talking a great deal. And when they is spinning their webs, they is singing all the time. They is singing sweeter than a nightingale.
What else do you hear?
One of the biggest chat bags is the cattle piddlers.
What do they say?
Ooh, they is arguing all the time about who is going to be the prettiest butterfly. That is all they is ever talking about.
Is there a dream floating around here now?
The BFG moved his great ears this way and that, listening intently. He shook his head.
There is no dream in here, except in the bottles. I has a special place to go to for catching dreams. They is not often coming to Giant Country.
How do you catch them?
The same way you is catching butterflies. With a net.
He stood up and crossed over to a corner of the cave, where a pole was leaning against the wall. The pole was about 30 feet long, and there was a net on the end of it.
Here is the dream catcher,
he said, grasping the pole in one hand. Suddenly, he seemed to lose interest in this conversation.
I is getting hungry. It is time for eats.
If you don't eat people like all the others, then what do you live on?
Oh, that is a tricky problem round here. In Giant Country, happy eats like pineapples and pigwinkles is simply not growing. Nothing is growing except for one extremely icky-poo vegetable. It is called the snozcumber.
The snozcumber? There's no such thing.
The BFG looked at Sophie and smiled, showing about 20 of his square white teeth.
Yesterday, we was not believing in giants, was we? Today, we is not believing in snozcumbers. I will now show you a snozcumber.
The BFG flung open a massive cupboard and took out the weirdest-looking thing Sophie had ever seen. It was about half as long again as an ordinary man, but was much thicker. It was as thick around its girth as a perambulator. It was black with white stripes along its length, and it was covered all over with coarse knobbles.
Here is the repulsant snozcumber,
cried the BFG, waving it about.
I squoggle it. I misspise it. I dispunge it. But because I is refusing to gobble up human beings like the other giants, I must spend my life guzzling up icky-poo snozcumbers instead. If I don't, I will be nothing but skin and groans.
You mean skin and bones?
I know it is bones. But please understand that I cannot be helping it if I sometimes is saying things a little squiggly. I is trying my very best all the time.
The big friendly giant looked suddenly so forlorn that Sophie got quite upset.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude.
The BFG was holding the awesome snozcumber in his right hand, and now he put one end into his mouth and bit off a huge hunk of it. He started crunching it up, and the noise he made was like the crunching of lumps of ice.
It's filthing!
He spluttered, speaking with his mouth full and spraying large pieces of snozcumber like bullets in Sophie's direction.
It's disgusterous!
The BFG gurgled.
Oh, it's sickable, it's rotsome, it's maggot-wise. Try it yourself, this foulsome snozcumber.
No, thank you, Sophie said, backing away.
It's all you're going to be guzzling around here from now on, so you might as well get used to it. Go on, you snipsy little winkle. Have a go.
Sophie took a small nibble.
Ah! She spluttered. Oh, no! Oh, gosh! Oh, help!
She spat it out quickly.
It tastes of frog skins, she gasped, and rotten fish.
Worse than that,
cried the BFG, roaring with laughter.
To me, it is tasting of cockroaches and slime wranglers.
Do we really have to eat it?
You do, unless you was wanting to become so thin, you will be disappearing into a thick ear.
Into thin air. A thick ear is something quite different.
Once again, that sad, winsome look came into the BFG's eyes.
Words. Is also such a twitch-tickling problem to me all my life. I know exactly what words I am wanting to say, but somehow or other, they is always getting squiffed-squiddled around.
Well, that happens to everyone.
Not like it happens to me. I is speaking the most terrible Wigglish.
I think you speak beautifully.
You do?
cried the BFG, suddenly brightening.
Oh, you really do?
Simply beautifully.
Well, that is the nicest present anybody has ever given to me in my whole life. Are you sure you is not twiddling my legs?
Of course not. I just love the way you talk.
How wonder, Crump!
Cried the BFG, still beaming.
How whoopsie splunkers! How absolutely squiffling! Oh, I is all of a stutter.
Suddenly, a tremendous thumping noise came from outside the cave entrance, and a voice like thunder shouted,
Runt! Is you there, Runt? I is hearing you jabbling. Who is you jabbling to, Runt?
Look out! It's the blood bottler!
But before he had finished speaking, the stone was rolled aside and a 50-foot giant, more than twice as tall and wide as the BFG, came striding into the cave. He was naked except for a dirty little piece of cloth around his bottom. Sophie was on the tabletop. The enormous, partly eaten snozcumber was lying near her. She ducked behind it. The creature came clumping into the cave and stood towering over the BFG.
Who was you jabbling to in here just now?
He boomed.
I is jabbling to myself,
the BFG answered.
Pilful fizz,
shouted the blood bottler.
Bugs wallop. You is talking to a human being. That's what I is thinking.
No, no,
cried the BFG.
Yes, yes,
boomed the blood bottler.
I is guessing you have snitched away a human being and brought it back to your bunghole as a pet. So, now I is winkling it out and guzzling it as extra snacks before my supper.
The poor BFG was very nervous.
There is no one in here,
he stammered. The blood bottler pointed a finger as large as a tree trunk at the BFG.
Runty little scum screwer. Piffling little swish figgler. Squimpy little bottle wart. Brunty little pog swizzer. I is now going to search the primroses.
He grabbed the BFG by the arm.
And you is going to help me do it.
Sophie peered around the chewed off end of the enormous snozcumber, watching the two giants as they moved away down the cave. The blood bottler was a gruesome sight. His skin was reddish-brown. There was black hair sprouting on his chest and arms and on his stomach. The hair on his head was long and dark and tangled. His foul face was round and squashy-looking. The eyes were tiny black holes. The nose was small and flat. But the mouth was huge. It spread right across the face, almost ear to ear, and it had lips that were like two gigantic purple frankfurters lying one on top of the other. Craggy yellow teeth stuck out between the lips, and rivers of spit ran down over the chin. Soon the blood bottler would be coming back, Sophie told herself, and he was bound to search the tabletop. But she couldn't possibly jump off the table. It was 12 feet high. She'd break a leg. The snozcumber, although it was as thick as a perambulator, was not going to hide her if the blood bottler picked it up. She examined the chewed-off end. It had large seeds in the middle, each one as big as a melon. They were embedded in a soft, slimy stuff. Taking care to stay out of sight, Sophie reached forward and scooped away half a dozen of these seeds. This left a hole in the middle of the snozcumber large enough for her to crouch in, so long as she rolled herself up into a ball. She crawled into it. It was a wet and slimy hiding place, but what did that matter if it was going to save her from being eaten? The blood bottler and the BFG were coming back towards the table now. The BFG was nearly fainting with fear. Suddenly, the blood bottler grabbed the half-eaten snozcumber. The BFG stared at the bare table. Sophie, where is you? He thought desperately.
So this is the filthing rotsome glubbage you is eating.
boomed the blood bottler, holding up the partly eaten snozcumber.
You must be cockles to be guzzling such rubsquash.
For a moment, the blood bottler seemed to have forgotten about his search for Sophie. The BFG decided to lead him further off the track.
That is the scrumdiddlyumptious snozcumber. I is guzzling it gleefully every night and day. Is you never trying a snozcumber, blood bottler?
Human beans is juicier.
You is talking rummy-tot,
the BFG said, growing braver by the second. He was thinking that if only he could get the blood bottler to take one bite of the repulsive vegetable, the sheer foulness of its flavour would send him bellowing out of the cave.
I is happy to let you sample it,
the BFG went on.
But please, when you see how truly glumptious it is, do not be guzzling the whole thing.
Sophie, crouching inside the chewed-off end, began to tremble all over.
You is not switch-fiddling me, is you?
Never,
cried the BFG passionately.
Oh, take a bite, and I am positive you will be shouting out how scrumdiddlyumptious this wonder-veg is.
Just this once. I is going to taste these rotsameats of yours, but I is warning you that if it is filthsome, I is smashing it over your sludgy little head.
He picked up the snozcumber. He began raising it on its long journey to his mouth, some 50 feet up in the air. Sophie wanted to scream, "Don't!" But that would have been an even more certain death. Crouching among the slimy seeds, she felt herself being lifted up and up and up. Suddenly, there was a crunch as the blood bottler bit a huge hunk off the end. Sophie saw his yellow teeth clamping together a few inches from her head. Then there was utter darkness. She was in his mouth. She caught a whiff of his evil-smelling breath. It stank of bad meat. She waited for the teeth to go crunch once more. She prayed that she would be killed quickly. Roared the blood bottler. And then he spat. All of the great lumps of snozcumber that were in his mouth, as well as Sophie herself, went shooting out across the cave. If Sophie had struck the stony wall of the cave, she would most certainly have been killed. Instead, she hit the soft folds of the BFG's black cloak hanging against the wall. She dropped to the ground, half stunned. She crawled under the hem of the cloak, and there she crouched.
You little swine buggler,
roared the blood bottler.
You little pig swiller.
He rushed at the BFG and smashed what was left of the snozcumber over his head. Fragments of the filthy vegetable splashed all over the cave.
You is not loving it?
The BFG asked innocently, rubbing his head.
Loving it,
yelled the blood bottler.
That is the most disgusting taste that is ever touching my teeth. You must be buggles to be swallowing sludge like that. Every night you could be galloping off happy as a hamburger and gobbling juicy human beans.
Eating human beans is wrong and evil.
It is guzzly and glumptious,
shouted the blood bottler.
And tonight, I is galloping off to Chile to swabble a few human chili beans. Horrible.
You ought to be ashamed.
Other giants is all saying they is wanting to gallop off to England tonight to guzzle school chitlers. I is very fond indeed of English school chitlers. They has a nice inky-booky flavour. Perhaps I will change my mind and go to England with them.
You is disgusting.
And you is an insult to the giant peoples. You is not fit to be a giant. You is a squinky little pit squeak. You is a cream puff nut.
With that, the blood-bottling giant strode out of the cave. The BFG ran to the cave entrance and quickly rolled the stone back into place.
Sophie,
he whispered.
Sophie? Where is you, Sophie?
Sophie emerged from under the hem of the black cloak.
I'm here.
The BFG picked her up and held her tenderly in the palm of his hand.
Oh, I am so happy to be finding you all in one lump.
I was in his mouth.
You was what?
Sophie told him what had happened.
Oh, just look at you, you poor little chiddler. You was all covered in snozcumber and giant spit.
He set about cleaning her up as best he could.
Oh, I is hating those other giants more than ever now. You know what I should like?
What? Sophie said.
I should like to find a way of disappearing them. Every single one.
And I'd be glad to help you, Sophie said.